here is Lezikra Nishmat, Yimimo Rasicha Nehenshabas David, Chrono Lebracha, my mother who passed away 1 month after I got married. We made the wedding a little bit early so that she could be there. And she was able to be Mesameach with us, and it was a time where it was Simcha of marriage plus the sadness of her Ptira. Both feelings inside at the same time. Every year, Dalet Adar rolls around, even though it's a time of Adar and Marbim B'Simcha, it's still a person is allowed to have mixed emotions and the same emotions at the same time. And for many years now, for the last 17, 18 years, with the exception of 1 year, I tried to create a new shir, a new sugya, and I tried to learn the sugya very, very much in depth. I tried to read everything that I could on a particular sugya, and then I would give it over. I want to apologize to my Talmidim for the last few days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even though we still had shir every day, but I was not at my best, 100%, because I was preparing for the shir. So thank you for your patience. I did put a notice that there's going to be refreshments. First of all, those are not alcoholic refreshments during the shir, but there will be Rosh Hashem Ragalach and soda, but that we'll do like a halftime in the middle of the shir, and we'll get the soda and the Ragalach. Okay, let's begin. This is a scary sugya. It's a scary sugya. Because to talk about this in a public setting and to start giving shitos about getting drunk, not getting drunk, and drinking on Purim is something where I could get into a lot of trouble for. What do I need this for? Why would I want to potentially stick my foot in my mouth and have to backtrack and explain myself? But kachi darka shel Torah, there's no sugya that we should shy away from. We want to know what the sugya has to say. There are definitely people who are very much against drinking on Purim. And the opposites. There are people who are very, very much for the drinking of Purim. So I would like to understand both sides. Are the sides true? Are the sides correct? Is there really room for both sides in this debate? And for that, we have to do the sugya. There's no other way to learn a sugya than to do it yourself and to do it in the Makoros themselves. The ramifications for today, and whether nowadays we should take a certain more machmir approach, conservative approach, or not, that's already questions of today and questions of how to look at the landscape nowadays. But for now, we're going to learn the sugya. We're going to learn the sugya kipshuto, pshat, the way we're supposed to learn every single sugya. Okay? We start with source number one, the Gemara itself. Amar Rava Mechayiv Inish Lipsumi Bepuria Adelo Yada Bein Arur Haman Levarach Mordechai. Period. I was not successful in getting a period into that picture over there. There's a period now. What is the pshat in this line? What is the pshat in this line? It's not. It's very unclear. But let's say for now, mechayiv inish chiyuv. Lifsume, Rashi says on the left side, lishtaker b'yayin, to get drunk with wine. Ad delo yada, until you can't distinguish between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Sounds like you can't distinguish between Haman and Mordechai. In other words, you gotta get very drunk, because to not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, do you know how much drinking one has to do in order to not figure out the difference between Haman and Mordechai? So this seems to be the pshat. So where do we go to see whether this is the pshat in the halacha? So you go to the Rif, and the Rif paskins exactly that. Amar Rav Mechai Vinish Delipsumi Bepuria Delo Yada Bein Baruch Mordechai Ar Haman. It's interesting. He mixed up Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman. Which one was first and which one was second? I don't know when the Riff wrote this. Did the Riff write this on Burn, maybe? Anyway, the point being is that the Riff, he paskins this Gemara. The Rosh paskins this Gemara. The Mechaber paskins this Gemara. Kipshuto verbatim. Mechayiv inish lufsumi b'puria. You read Gemara Rashi, Mishtaker b'yayin. That's it. End of the sugya. Is it only Rashi that says Mishtaker b'yayin? No. Rabbi Nechananel says Besima is Shikora. The Aruch explains Besima is also Shikora. In other words, you're supposed to become a Shikor, you're supposed to become a drunk, you're supposed to drink so much on Purim until you don't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. This Lechora is the end of the Sugya. But there are a lot of questions and there's a lot of what to discuss. And let's go through a lot of the questions, okay? I made a little list for myself. 10 questions that we're going to deal with. Judaism is usually four kashas. I could not limit it to four kashas. There are 10 kashas. Let's do first questions b'shat. The first question b'shat is this really a chiyuv? Mechayev. It doesn't say chayev, it says mechayev. Is that a different language? Where does this chiyuv come from? What's the marker for such a din? Is this midivrei Kabbalah like the rest of the mitzvos on Purim? Or is it only midirabanan? Is it less than that? That's question number one. Question number two, what does the word lifsume really mean? Does it mean lihishtaker, to get drunk? Then why not use the language of lihishtaker? What exactly does lifsume mean? Question number three, how does one be mitbasein? In what, with what process or with what method? Rashi quoted wine. Is that the only method to be lifsume, to be adelo yada? One could talk about schnapps. Schnapps is the, you know, nice way of saying other alcoholic beverages. We could start going a little bit more crazy. We could start getting a little nutty. We could start talking about drugs. Can a person smoke marijuana to be adelo yada until he's out of it? And further, okay? Let's leave it at marijuana for now, even though that's already way, way, way too far to even discuss. Anyway, the question is, how does one live sume? Question number four in pshat. What does it really mean, adelo yada? How much is that? At first glance, a tremendous amount, an enormous amount. How much is it really? Number five, and this is just, a simple pshat question. What's the reason for this halacha? The reason for this halacha. If it was a gzeres hakatzav, if it was a daraisa, then fine. Listen, that's what Torah says. But now that there's no daraisa for this, nobody makes kabbalah for this. So like, why? Why should someone get so drunk on Purim, to drink so much on Purim until adelo yada? For what reason is there this halacha and is there this din? These are five pshat questions. Some questions a little bit more machshava oriented. How could there be a mitzvah to get drunk? Drunkenness in the Torah is seen as something that's terrible. All you need to look at is in Sefer Bereishis, a quick look at what happened to two characters in Sefer Bereishis, Noach and Lot. Each of those times, bad things happened. Okay? We won't go into detail about how bad it was, but they were both really, really bad. What does the Torah mean to convey by those stories? Is it not, what are we supposed to glean from the Torah, if not for attitude towards things? How does the Torah look at things? Does the Torah actually have to say a pasuk that says, don't get drunk, in order to know that the Torah's attitude towards drunkenness is bad, is wrong? You have a few stories in it. I'm reminded that my teacher in high school, Yeshiva Flapish, they got a shout out. In my Yeshiva in my high school, one of my teachers said, what is the Torah's feeling about polygamy, about marrying more than one wife? So everyone, of course, knew that the din was that you're allowed to marry more than one wife. He said the Torah is against it. Torah is against it? What do you mean the Torah is against it? Yeah. How many stories does the Torah have to say and Tanakh have to say about a person who married more than two women, or more than one woman, that it was disaster? Chana and Pnina, Rachel and Leah. You only need a few stories to figure out what the Torah's attitude towards something is. How can there be a mitzvah of getting drunk here, of too much drinking? Another question, number seven that we're up to, another question of machshava. Really, adelo yada, so that you could lose your das? Why would you want to lose your das? Das is one of the most important things in Judaism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to connect to Him. We need our das. Das is everything. All of Talmud Torah is so much using our mental faculties. Why all of a sudden do we want to suspend our mental faculties? And now some Lamdisha questions. We have here in this one line, Mechayev nish livsume adelo yada. What's the connection between livsume and adelo yada? Is the mitzvah really, really livsume? And adelo yada is just how much drinking you should do. It's a measure of how much drinking you should do. But the mitzvah is really drinking. Or is the mitzvah really adelo yada? That's the goal here. You want to get there. And the drinking is a hechsher to get to that goal. Fantastic Lamdisha question, and a very good Lamdisha question. We'll see in Mirtz Hashem, hopefully answers to that question too. Another Lundisha question. We are now up to question number 9. What is this mitzvah of Chayav Inish Lefsume? Does it connect to the mitzvah of Simcha? Does the word Simcha relate to this? We sometimes have in Chazal, in the Torah, V'samachta b'chagecha. And the Gemara in Pesachim and elsewhere says, in Simcha el b'basar, in Simcha el b'yayin. We have V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Sometimes we have the word Simcha related to the idea of Yayin. Is that what's going on here? Is this related to the din of Simcha? Is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Purim that's being expressed by Yayin? The mitzvah of Simcha, though, isn't it always expressed by Yayin, by every yontif? Isn't there something special going on here with Chayav Inish Lefsume? That's what we have to figure out also. The relationship between this din of Chayav Inish Lefsume, Yayin, and the din of Ein Simcha El B'Yayin, the mitzvah of Simcha. That was question number 9. Question number 10. I wonder whether we'll get to this question. I guess it's for our listeners out there in the future, Mitzvah. What if your parents tell you we don't want you heavy drinking on Purim? What if they tell you we don't want you to be lit Sumei B'Puriyah D'lo Yada? Do you have to listen to your parents when it comes to this? I asked Rav Waxman if I had to make this disclaimer. He said, no, of course not. You don't have to. You can say whatever you want. But I'm making a disclaimer anyway. I don't speak on anyone's behalf right now. I'm speaking as just a teacher of Torah. We're just learning the sugya. I'm learning the sugya out loud now. I've been learning it now for a little while. I had the basic structure of the sugya for a long time, but I never really delved deeply into this sugya. And now I'm sharing it with you. I'm just sharing words of Torah. They are my own. They are my own. I don't know if that disclaimer was necessary, but I said it anyway. The story. There's a story in the Gemara. And this is how we begin. This is how we begin the sugya. Of course, the way we begin the sugya is ignoring all 10 questions that we just mentioned. And now we start talking about something else. And that is the story in the Gemara. We are still in source number 1, okay? This is a slow night. In source number 1, Rabba v'Rav Zeira. This is, right, for those of you who know this story already, I remember I discussed it last year in depth with the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, Zatzal's beautiful idea. Rabba v'Rav Zeira of Dusu, that's Purim, Bahadi Adade, they had Sudas Purim together. Ifsum, Rashi says, Mishtakru, they got drunk. Kam Rabba Shachte l'Rav Zeira. Rabba shechted Rav Zeira, killed him, murdered him. Limachar b'irachame. The next day, it took Rabba a little while to gather up his kochos and figure out maybe the ramifications of his actions. Only the next day, b'irachame, he davened, v'achye, and he resuscitated Rav Zeira. Lishana, a year later, amale nesi marvin evi tzudas purim ba'adei adade. Rabba says to Rav Zeira, nope, you gonna come over for tzudas purim again? So Rav Zeira responded, Amar lei lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachesh nisa. We cannot, not in every hour, an hour, is there going to be an ace. We can't rely on the miracle, your kochos, of being able to resuscitate me. And therefore, I don't know if we can have a repeat of next year. I don't know if I'll be able to get out of you killing me this time. That's Rav Zeira's response. For those of you who think this story, oh my gosh, how could it be that Rabbi killed Rav Zeira? So I brought the Marsha for you in source number 3 that says he didn't really kill him, he just made him very, very sick. But that is not the pshat in the story. The word shachte is very, very clear. Very, very clear. Shachte means he killed him. I want to tell you, I couldn't believe when I found this. The chida in the Birkei Yosef has a suffix about whether Rav Zeira had to be Mekadesh's wife again. Because he was killed and he came back to life, maybe his wife was already now considered an amana, and now he has to be re-Mekadesh's wife. I don't know what the halacha ma'aseh is on this. I'm not going to pass the nachshon today. Okay? But that's the chida's question. Rav Ovadia Yosef has a whole page. He has a whole page in his sefer on Shas Maor Yisrael about this issue of whether he has to be re-Mekadesh's wife. All I'm bringing from that issue is most poskim, most rishonim understood that this was Rabba killed Rav Zeira. Rabba killed Rav Zeira. What does this story teach us? Why is this story in the Gemara? The fact that it's an amazing story, absolutely. It's riveting. It is so entertaining. It might be enjoyable to listen to, but that's not why it appears in the Gemara. What is the purpose of this story in the Gemara? And what I'd like to offer is, I think, four approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim Poskim about how they viewed the relationship between the halacha and the maisa, the halacha of Rava and the maisa of Rabba and Rabbi Zera. And we start with the first shita in the Rishonim. The Baal Amor quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim. Amar Rabba Chayevinish Livsumi Bepuria. Kasav Rabbeinu Ephraim. Me'ahu uvda dekam Rabba Shachti L'Rab Zera. V'shana Amar Leiso Navid V'chulei. Ifchi Lei Meimer De Rabba. V'lei Silchas HaKavasei. V'lav Shapir Dami L'mevet Hachi. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, from the juxtaposition of the story with the mic, with the halacha, the story has rejected the halacha. That's why the Gemara has this story in the Gemara. If you thought that this was a Das Yachid, Rabbeinu Ephraim, it is brought in the Baal Amor, and the Baal Amor only brings this Shita down. The Shibalei Aleket brings this Rabbeinu Ephraim down. The Ran brings only this Rabbeinu Ephraim down. The Rivav, one of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara also, only brings Rabbeinu Ephraim down. The Beit Yosef quotes the Ran B'Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim also. The Taz Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, like this Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim was the Talmud of the Rif. And you understand that Rabbeinu Ephraim wasn't just speaking, he was speaking against the Rif. I know that it doesn't sound like it 100%, it doesn't appear this way, that it was a Hasaga, but it was. Because the Rif, as we quoted earlier, quoted Rava's Din, La Halacha. And Rabbeinu Ephraim says, we don't paskin like Rava. We don't paskin the song Chayav Inish L'Ksume. We got to cross out the song. We should be singing Rabba Shachte L'Rab Zera. That's halacha. The halacha L'maisa is that you're not allowed to drink. You don't drink. There is no din of Chayav Inish L'Ksume. The story tells us to reject the halacha by Rabba, the halacha of Rava. We'll get to that in one more second. The Meiri also in Megillah and Dazayin of the Beis on source 5 says, Chayav Adam Harbos B'Simcha V'Chulei U'Mikol Makom Ein Anu Mitzuvin L'Hishtaker. The mitzvah is not to get drunk. U'L'Hafchit Atzinim B'Toch HaSimcha, to lower ourselves in the Simcha. Shol Mitzavim HaSimcha Shol Hololus V'Shol Shtus Ela B'Simcha Shol Taimu Shinagim B'Toch Ela Avos Hashem V'Odal Anisim. We weren't commanded for frivolity, shtus, nonsense, but rather a Simcha of Tanuv where it could lead to Avos Hashem and Hodah. U'Masha Amar Kan Adlo Yada Kvar Pirshuk Tzatz Yonim. The story has replaced the halacha. According to this pshat, Rava is being understood kipshuto. Rava says, get drunk. Adelo yada. It means it legamre. It just rejected the halacha because the story overrides the halacha itself. Why? Why does the story override Rava? What's the reason why the story overrides Rava? Why does the Sipur override the Halakha? And here there are two different perushim that one could offer. The first perush is that Ravina and Ravashi, who were Mesader Shas, decided to put a Halakha, and then they decided to put a story, and the story is the exact opposite and in contradistinction to the Halakha, and therefore, since that's the series of how it goes, and that's the chronology of the Sugya, so the later thing is pasul la halacha. That's one pshat in Rabbeinu Ephraim. There is, though, a second pshat in Rabbeinu Ephraim. Second pshat in Rabbeinu Ephraim. And that is to look at the girsa. There are girsa issues with this Gemara. What are the girsa issues? The girsa issues are in the names. I was already fumbling a little bit when I was reading Rabbeinu Ephraim, because he says, V'amar Rabba, we'll get to that one more second. Rava and Rabba. How many Davim Mishas have Rava and Rabba, and you have stars on the side of the Gemara that say Tzarek Loma Rabba, Tzarek Loma Rabba? You know why that is? I don't know if I quoted this last year. I certainly didn't quote it this year. It's because a lot of times it said Reish, Beis, Shmichik. They decided to not write the third letter. But if you write a Shmichik on top after the Reish, Beis, you don't know whether it's Rabba or Rabba. So then later on you're just speculating, and now you're trying to fit into other Rabbas and Rabbas all throughout Shas. Listen to the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim has it like this. Amar Rabba Chayav Inish L'Ksume B'Puria. And then come Rabba Shachtel Rav Zera. According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the same author of the halacha is this person in the story. How does that impact things?
So the Pshat of Rabbeinu Ephraim was like this. Rava said a halakha. Okay? That was his first halakha. That was his first idea. And then he had a story. He decided to act upon this halakha. So he invited Rav Zera to his house. And they had a seudah together. And things went terribly wrong. Right? So he backtracked. He was chozer bo. In other words, one pshat in Rabbeinu Ephraim could be that since the Gemara says the story of the halakha of Rava, and then the story of Rava, things going wrong, it must be that Rava was chozer bo. If you look in the Meiri, who brings down Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Meiri says, "Come Rava shachtei l'Rav Zera." Instead of switching both to Rava, the Meiri had both being Rava. Amazing. Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Meiri, both holding that the story has replaced the halakha, are holding that the names are the same, which means the earlier author of the halakha then had a story where things went dangerously wrong. So he was chozer bo. What if you don't say it's the same name? What if you don't say it's the same name? What if one is Rava and one is Rava? So then we have to try to figure out who's first. Who was first? Now I'm asking a historical question. Who was first, Rava or Rava? It's very, very clear. Rava was first. Rava was first. Rava was second. Which means that the Gemara is chronologically out of order. But since Ravina and Ravashi put these two together like this, even though there was a later halakha of Rava, it's amazing, Rava was later, despite hearing probably the story of Rava and Rav Zera, he still paskins chayav inish l'psume. But then later on, Ravina and Ravashi, when they were Masada the Gemara, they said, no. Rava is being replaced by Rava's story with Rav Zera. This is the pshat in Rabbeinu Ephraim. Question, yes?
Can you look into the lashon of the Meiri that uses the phrase, "Ein adam mitzaveh mishaker"? "Ein adam mitzaveh" is not necessarily rejecting there's no chiyuv, there is a chiyuv. There's no tzivui.
That there's no mitzvah, that there's no chiyuv, meaning maybe it was mutter.
Right.
Yeah, but for the next word, Shalom Nitzaveinu al Simcha Shal Holulus Vishat, he wasn't neutral. He called it Holulus and Shtus. How much more did he want to reach out to say?
Then the question is, did he hold it as mutter, or would he hold...
What I'm trying to tell you is that he would definitely not hold it as mutter. So, yeah. Yeah?
You're saying that's the shot, then why did Rob invite him again?
All right, good question. We're getting to that. This is the Shita Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now we get to the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash, early Achron on the Shulchan Aruch. The Pri Chadash in Source 6 says, the Pri Chadash in Source 6 actually asks that question. After he quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, he says, Vein Zeh Nacham. And he asks two serious questions against Rabbeinu Ephraim. We found later on that in one of the more obscure Rishonim, the Eshkol actually has the same taina of the Pri Chadash. It was preceded by the Eshkol. I couldn't get it on the computer and I couldn't print it out. So here's the Pri Chadash instead. I like to give it the earlier one, but what can I do? So it's usually famous in the name of the Pri Chadash. And the Pri Chadash asks the following question. First question he doesn't ask is, how come Rabba invited Rabbi Zera the second year after he saw the disastrous results of his first Chayav Inish L'Sumei party, where he shefted Rabbi Zera and things went dangerously wrong and he had to resuscitate him? How come the next year he's willing to go? So how come we're so confident that after this disaster story that the halakha is already batal and mevuto? For Rabba, it wasn't batal and mevuto. In the story itself, you think that Rabba is ready to get on the horse again. That's one question. A second question, and that's what the Pri Chadash really asks, is listen to Rabbi Zera's response. Rabbi Zera's response is, I don't know if we can rely on Nisim this year. I don't know whether your powers of resuscitation are still up to speed. I don't know if you checked it out within the last year. You know, you went through standard training to see like whether you're up to snuff. I'm not sure. What kind of answer is that? What he should have told him is, no way, we're not doing it. The truth is, you know what he should have told him? He should have told him, you know what? Let's have the Suda together and let's not get drunk. Once we were already mevatel chayav inish l'psume, so it's all over. So now Rabbi Zera can just say, can we have it together? Of course we can have it together, but obviously we're not going to drink like we did last year, because last year went terribly wrong. Elamai, when he told him, when Rabbi Zera responded to Rabba and said, I don't know if I can rely on your nisim, what was he saying? If we get together, we're going to get drunk. And if we're going to get drunk, you might kill me again, and then you might not be able to resuscitate me. What do you mean? Why are you going to get drunk again? You see that according to Rabbi Zeira, he didn't even contemplate the idea that they're going to have the suda together without drinking, without getting drunk enough that Rabbi would check Rabbi Zeira. These are questions. These are questions that the Pri Chadash levels against Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, according to this opinion, Rava is Kipshuto. Rava is Kipshuto. The story is being brought. Hold on 1 second. According to this shita, Rava is still Kipshuto. How would Rabbeinu Ephraim respond to the Pri Chadash's objections? Didn't Reb Zeira give a very parav refusal? Why did he give such a parav refusal? And why must he refuse at all? Why don't they just get together and not drink so much? Why wasn't that possible? So I thought of one answer. One answer could be is that Reb Zeira is just trying to be nice. Reb Zeira thinks that he really wanted to tell Rabbi, he goes, you're crazy. You have a shita that's absolutely off the wall and that's absolutely nuts. But he told him instead, you know what, we can't rely on Nisim. It was a very elegant way of getting out of this invite, right? When a person wants to get out of an invite, it's like very difficult. Like, what do you say? What do you say to get out of this invite? So that's one possibility. Or the second possibility is not from the language of the story. It's got nothing to do with Rabbi and Reb Zeira. You're right. They were all into drinking, and they were all into Chayav and Sufsumi all the way. You know who we're being medayik from? Not from Rabbi and Reb Zeira. We're being medayik from Ravina and Ravashi, who were Masadir the Gemara. How come they told this story after the statement of Rava? Because they were basically trying to say that this story, which is a disaster story, has replaced the halakha. This is how Rabbeinu Ephraim can respond to the Pri Chadash's attacks. The question is, though, according to the Pri Chadash, so why bring this story? What's the purpose of bringing this story? According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, the purpose of bringing the story is to actually reject the halacha of Rava. But if we already have the halacha of Rava, so then what does this story teach you? Seems like just an application of the halacha. What do we need this story from? What do we learn from this story? So the Pri Chadash answers in source 6, on the 6th line, Ulahachi maisi tamuda hahu uvda, lashmi inan dememis rava, kipashta, demachayi v'nish basumi adelo yada. You know what it teaches us? It teaches us that Adel El Yod is Kipshuto. Is that Adel El Yod is all the way? We might have thought, the way we started our shir, how much is Lipsume, how much is Adel El Yod, I don't know. You know what the story teaches us? You gotta get drunk enough that you won't realize that you're killing your friend. That's how drunk you have to be. Unbelievable, the Pri Chadash. But this is his shot in the non-Rabbeinu Ephraim Shitos, which is the riff, the rush. These are the Shitos that bring down Chayav in the Lipsume. This is the first answer to why, according to the Rif, why was this story brought? According to the Rif, the Pri Chadash, the Chayav Inish Lusumek Kipshuto, why bring the story to highlight, to prove, to tell us that it really is Lusume Adelo Yada Megamre. A second answer is found in the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer says something, it sounds jushy, it's very creative and beautiful. And the Chasam Sofer quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. And the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph that he quotes on the third line, talks about mazalos. Mazalos, that a person is sometimes born with a certain birthday, and therefore he has certain characteristics, certain netios, certain drives. One of those mazalos is ma'adim. Ma'adim, the word Edom is in there, red, Adom, and that's Mars. The mazal is Mars. Anybody who's born in Mars, the Mars astrology, is somebody who has a bloodthirst, is someone who's interested in violence. So the Gemara says, a person, man dahavi b'madim, whoever has this thing, is going to be a mohel, is going to be a shochet, is going to be something with blood. In other words, drives are not necessarily something negative. Drives have to be channeled towards the proper direction. And even bloodthirstiness, and even and even violence can be used positively. Rava crept up in that Gemara and says, listen, Ana b'madim, my astrology, my birthday is also Mars. It's also under that astrology. So how come I don't have any violence in me? So first of all, the Chasam Sofer is medayek that this is before this story of Rava and Rav Zera. Because then people would have just said, you don't have any violence in you. A few years ago, you killed Rav Zera on Purim. You kidding me? So this was before that story. But he asked, what about me? So the answer that the Gemara says, Mar Nami Anish V'Katil. You're part of Beis Din. Beis Din sometimes has to give punishment. So there's a violent streak sometimes that even Beis Din can channel in the proper direction through Malkus and through Onshe Beis Din. So says the Chasam Sofer, that what the Gemara was saying was the following. Rava and Rav Zera, they shouldn't be getting together because Rava has a violent streak, has a drive, a bloodthirsty drive. And therefore, Rava and Rav Zera shouldn't get together. And that's basically what Rav Zera was saying. I can't get together with you because you have this netia. There's an exception to this rule. Chayev inish lesume adelo yada means kepshuto. You have to drink until you can't understand anything. Until adelo yada mamish. Unless you're born under Madian. Because if you're born in that astrology, so then you have a certain drive, and that unchecked, and that when you lower the inhibitions of drinking the wine, all of a sudden your natural tendency to hurt another person will be there, and then you're going to get hurt. That's why Rava couldn't get together with Rav Zera. But anybody else, there would be no problem. So this story is being taught in the Gemara to tell you, stay away from people who are born on Adlo Yada, on Purim. Stay away from people who have this violent tendency. That's the idea of the Chasam Sofer. That's why the Rif, the story in the Gemara, is quoted. A last Ta'ara for these first two Shitos. We are now on page 2. The Shut Mishnah Halachos is the Dain of Kuntvah from Barakar, Rav Menashe Klein. And Rav Menashe Klein says, you know what? This could very easily be dependent on the Girsos. If you think that Rava and Rava, if you think that it's the same person in the Gemara, Imam says this beferish. If you think that they're the same person in the Gemara, so then it sounds like he said the halacha, but then the story happened, and you know what? I guess he was Choserbo. He changed his mind. But if they're two different names, the fact that Rava is later, even though the story had already taken place, irrespective of the fact that it was mentioned in the Gemara in the wrong order, Rava, who is the Basra, Rava, who is later on, is the normative halacha. These are the first two shitos in the Gemara. That either the story rejects the halacha mentioned beforehand, or the story is an absolute acceptance and a proof of the halacha beforehand. And now we have two more shitos. That is the Bach and the Yad Ephraim. The Bach and the Yad Ephraim have two different perushim. One is what I call the correction pshat. Correction. The story is correcting something that was wrong in Rava. The Bach explains, this is the reason why it was juxtaposed this way in the Gemara. In order to be doche Rava, umihu, however, all we're rejecting is how amazingly far Rava went. All the Gemara really needs to do is to tone it down a little bit. We're not rejecting Rava. Rava went very, very far. We're rejecting an aspect of Rava. Rava went all the way with it. We're not going 100%, but we're getting close. We're getting 90%. You just have to leave a little bit of the das left. But he says you could be shatui, you could even be shikor. You could even get drunk. But not that drunk. Not that drunk of Adelo Yada. This is just correcting. We're not going to paskin like Rava Chayav Inish Lefsume, but we're still going to paskin that you could get drunk on Purim, just not to such an extent. This is the pshat, what I call, it's correcting. Correcting Shitas Rava. And then we have the last Shita, Shita number 4. Yeah. And the mitzvah, we didn't say. I didn't say it. Pshat number four is the pshat of clarification. This is in the Yad Ephraim. The Yad Ephraim was not printed that long ago. It was written a long time. It was written a while ago, but it was only printed pretty much recently on the Shulchan Aruch. And he says the following: V'li hatzair mitparesh b'chizayon laila. It came to me in the middle of the night, maybe the night of Purim, maybe the night after Purim, and it came to him that what's the kavana of this halacha? The kavala of this halacha is simcha, and it's halal v'hoda, and that's why on the second line he says, don't get too drunk, then you won't recognize the toga anes. And that's v'zehu shakas of chayav adam l'sumir puri ad shelo yada, hach adhu v'lo ad b'chlal. It means until that state, but not that state, right? You can say until, the Gemara in Brachos talks about this when it comes to tefillah, ad arba shos, does it mean ad the ad b'chlal, including that, or not including that? Up until and including, or up until and not including? Here means up until and not including. Ad delo yada b'nar haba Mordechai. Don't go all the way there. If you went all the way there, you went too far. You went too far. You should never get to that level. And he continues. And he says, this is the pshat ad v'lo ad b'chlal. Min ha'gvul hazeh, on the third line, v'hala hu bitul kavanas chiyuv. That's not what the chiyuv was all about. Skip to the next line where it's bold. Ve'ech bonein alav v'boker v'ra'iti k'nachonhu. He woke up in the morning. He thought about it more in the morning. He says, it's nachon. It's absolutely correct. Now I understand what the story is for. The story is going against the halacha. And even some poskim said that the story rejects the halacha. At the end of the line, it's actually giving a proof. What it's doing is it is tempering the chiyuv by telling you this is what Rava really meant. You might have gotten the mistaken impression that Rava was a shita that says to get drunk all the way. No, not true. He meant up until but not including. Ad lo yada, ad lo ad, up until but not including, and not including where a person doesn't know between Arhaman and Baruch Mordechai. And the story just proves that and tells us this is what Rava meant. Therefore, this is the pshat of clarification. This idea, this shita thinks for the first time that Rava doesn't really mean it. That even the pshat in Rava is different. For the first three pshatim that we had so far, Rava meant it all the way. All the way. In this last pshat, we're finally seeing an idea that even Chayav Inish L'Sumi V'Kuri Ad Lo Yada does not mean all the way. This idea that Chayav Inish L'Sumi does not mean all the way, it's something that is expressed in two Rishonim, the Or Chos Chaim, the Kobo. In source 11, we have such a charif language against drunkenness. Chayav adam l'psumei v'puria lo shiyishtaker. Not that you should get drunk. Shashivus as iser gomerhu. Vein l'chav eira gedolim yizdo. Are you kidding me? It's a terrible avera. U'gorim l'gili arayas shichus damim l'kama avera zlatan. Ach shiyishtay yoter min l'mudo ma'ad k'zei shiyarbe l'smach. A person should drink, but he shouldn't get drunk. Now, what's important about the Kobo? I already brought a shita that said don't get drunk. That was the Meiri, Rabbi Yom Ephraim. I already have a shita that says don't get drunk. What's the Kiddush in this Kobo? What's the Kiddush in this Kobo? No?
Drink minimum.
What?
Drink a little bit.
He says to drink a little bit. That's also? He's saying it in Rava. How does he preface his remarks? Chayav adam l'fsumei b'puria. But not that you should get drunk. He's saying this in the words. He's not ignoring Rava. He's not denying Rava. He's saying this is Rava. This is what Chayav Adam L'Sumei means. This is the difference between the Kobo and the Yad Ephraim and all the other shitos that we saw up until this point. This is echoed also in the Beis Yosef B'Shem the Or Chos Chaim. Chayav Inish L'Sumei B'Puria and says the exact same thing. It can't possibly mean to get drunk. One last line about this, and then we're going to give out the refreshments. There are different remazim in the Rishonim about what Ad Lo Yada means. If you look at source 13 and source 14, I brought two cute ones. There are many cute ones. Delo Yada bin Arahad on Levarach Mordechai, source 13. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi. Arur Zeresh Brucha Esther. Arurim Kol Harishayim Bruchim Kol HaYehudim. What in the world is Tosis talking about? You have to know not, you have to drink so that you don't know the difference between Aruham and Baruch Mordechai. Yeah, and what? And also Zeresh and Esther, and also Kol Harishayim, and also Kol HaYehudim. Like, why do we have to know that? It's clear that Tosis is quoting a very famous song, a very famous piyut that they used to say. They used to say a piyut where the chorus would have been Arhamma, you know, like that would be the chorus. There's no actual song that way, anyway, but with that tune. But Arhamma and Baruch Mordechai, that's what it would be. And then it would be Aru Zeresh, and then Brucha Esther, and then Aru Kol Harishayim. As soon as you get mixed up in the words, as soon as you get, that's the point. Drink enough so that you get mixed up with the words, that you get tongue twisted, right? You can't say the words properly. That's one pshat Tosis. Another remez, nice cute remez in the Magen Avraham. V'yeshomim shelo yedal achshov sharur haman begematria baruch Mordechai. You didn't think that there wasn't going to be a gematria in this year. Anyway, the gematria of Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai are the same. 502. Well, you have to see if you can compute that. Can you compute that? Now you could. But what happens? How much are you supposed to drink on Purim? So that you can't compute it anymore. That if someone asks you, how much is each one? You go, 676. You know, like you say the wrong number. That you can't add up it straight. What's the purpose of these Ramazim? Okay, what is this? This is like a drush class, trying to figure out what's Bein Arham and Baruch Mordechai. I think it's very clear that what these Perushim are trying to do is, they are trying to tell you, don't learn a Kepshuto. It can't possibly mean Bein Arham and Baruch Mordechai, that you should get that drunk that you can't tell the evil from the non-evil. The evil and the non-evil. Throughout the world, maybe they can't tell what's real evil and what's not real evil. About what's dangerous to the entire world, what's not dangerous to the entire world, right? In Yana Diyama Mamish. But for, right? But Haman versus Mordechai, what, I have to pick out Rishayim from our history, from the last 100 years, and you're going to tell me, oh, you'll get that mixed up with a big tzaddik? No way does it mean that much. They are trying to lower what is Chayav Inish L'Sume. In Rava, they're trying to lower how much that person has to drink. Let's summarize and then we'll give out some refreshments. The summary goes like this. We have a tremendous machlokas here about whether there's a mitzvah, lihishtaker, whether there's a mitzvah to get drunk. According to the first sheet of Rabbeinu Ephraim, there is no mitzvah to get drunk. The story wipes out the halacha of Rava. According to the second shot, which is the riff, the rush, the tour, and the pre-padash, they say there's a mitzvah to get drunk. And the story is a proof to Rava's idea. How much a person has to drink. Ad kidei kach, to shecht your friend. The third shot, the Bach says there is no mitzvah to get drunk. The story has replaced Rava. Rava meant to get drunk, but the story tells you do not go that far. How far are you allowed to go? He says you can still be mishtaker, shose yoter midai, shose, right, a little bit more. Different shitos that we saw so far about how much one should drink. And shita number four, the Yad Ephraim, he says there is no mitzvah to get drunk. Ad delo yada does not mean all the way. It means much, much less than that, so that you can still have the das in order to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to this, we're dancing one more line when they're not here, but one more line, we'll repeat it while they're not here, when they come back. There are basically two different drachim so far in the postgame about how you would undo the mitzvah of getting drunk. The first is to paskin against Rava, and the second is to reinterpret Rava. The first shot to reject Rava, that's Rabbeinu Ephraim and all the Rishonim who paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim. And the second way to do it is to temper Shitas Rava, the Kolbo, the Orchos Chaim, we'll see in the Raman Shulchan Aruch also, that you should temper the Shita of getting drunk. What is this machlokas all about? What are the yisodos in this machlokas? Okay, we're going to take a break now before we'll be recording. I think there's enough for two per person. So about whether there's a mitzvah to get drunk. Why not? What's the problem? So the problems are very easy. The two problems, there are two very, very clear problems with getting drunk. The first is, as the Meiri mentioned, The Meiri says, what do you think this whole mitzvah is all about? This whole mitzvah is about giving hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is about Avas Hashem. How in the world are you going to have Avas Hashem and hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you don't know what's flying, you don't know what's going on? If you don't know anything, you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. How are you going to give hodah to Hashem? So it's like, we're missing the Avodas Hashem component of all of it. Why in the world would you want to be in such a state? Second problem, which is a big one too, is the Kolbo. The Kolbo said, and the Orchos Chaim, that it's Naveira Gadola. All you have to do is look at Chumash, Noach, Lod, Gila Arayos, terrible things happening as a result of getting drunk. And even though, and this is important, and I wish I had more time to give a little bit more marmakomos about this also, and even though there is a lot of room that wine and drinking wine does have a yesod in Judaism, and Simcha Elav Yayin, there is an idea of Simcha through Yayin. And even though I personally don't like the taste of wine so much, but there is an idea of Simcha B'Yayin. Simcha B'Yayin. So there is an idea of drinking wine, and no one can think that that's a negative thing, that having a sip of wine, that having a half a cup of wine is a problem. It's absolutely not a problem. Adirabba, Yayin yisamach levav enosh, ain't Simcha Elav B'Yayin, but shikros? Drinking? Terrible. It's not very good that can come out of that. So we're going to have to explain the other shitos, right? That's how we explain the machlokas. First we go to the easy ones. We got to the easy shita. Don't get drunk, right? How many times do your parents have to tell you? Have to tell you, don't get drunk. I don't know how many times. Hopefully never. But it's obvious. It's obvious what the reasons against will be. What would be the reasons to ignore what the Meiri and the Kolbo say? So we start with the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham is a very important shita. The Abu Draham is in the Tkufa of the Rishonim. He brings down a lot of our minhagim with regard to davening and brachot and all minhagim Yisrael. And the Abu Draham is also quoted in the Ber Halacha. And he says, how could it be that you're supposed to get drunk on Purim? How could it be? And he answers, everything that happened in the Megillah happened through Mishneh. Vashti's being removed from the Malchus and being replaced by Esther, the eventual savior, happened through Mishneh. The Melech made a Mishneh Gadol in the forehand. Haman's downfall was happening because he felt so good about a Mishneh. And then eventually it was in another Mishneh that Esther begs on behalf of Am Yisrael to do something to Haman, and it's through Mishneh that things happen. Very interesting. It's a good question that we have to ask L'chora, which is, why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do all these nisim through Mishneh? Why is that so significant, the role of Mishneh here? Is it because people's inhibitions had to be lowered? It's because that was the only way to get to the real person in these situations, the real Haman and the real Achashverosh, that Nichnas Yayin Yatsa So, that all of a sudden the true person emerges, Nikar Adam, right, B'Shol Shadar, B'Kiso, B'Koso, B'Kaso, the person is recognized, B'Koso, about what happens when he drinks. What's the reason? That's a great Dvar Torah that hopefully you can pursue. But says the Abu Draham at the end, V'lechem, Chivu Lishtaker B'Purim Mifnei Sheba Anes B'Avor Mishteh Hayayin Shasta Esther, the Ata, and now Yen Iskar Hanesa Gadol B'Shteyat Hayayin. What the Abu Draham is saying is that our drinking of wine is a little bit different than you thought. It is commemorative. It's a zikaron. We are commemorating the Nisim through wine. Our drinking of wine is with that in mind. And that's why there's a mitzvah to drink wine. The mitzvah to drink wine is specifically for the commemorative aspect. The second idea that one could suggest to justify getting drunk, drinking so much, we can't call it an excess because that's already a judgment, but to drink so much, to drink a lot, is found in the Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha quotes the Gaon based in the Brisk, which is their Grizz, the Brisker Rav, Uncle Revelvel, being recorded and everything. Anyway, and the Emek Bracha says that there's a huge difference between Simcha on Yontiv and the mitzvah on Purim. What is the difference between these two mitzvahs? So the Emek Bracha has two applications of this principle. The first, and there are many, but the first application of this principle is found on the right side where he quotes the Rambam who says that there's a mitzvah to eat meat. There's a mitzvah to have fleshiks in your suda on Suda's Purim. Don't worry, all the sudos, Emet Hashem, will be fleshiks, nothing to worry about. Everyone knows to be Mekayim this Rambam. It might be yeshiva fleshiks, but it doesn't make so much of a difference right now. It's technically Basar. Anyway, came from an animal. Anyway, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar. Ein Simcha. I'm just joking, it's delicious on Purim. I thought I would apologize to make, you know, put myself in good graces with the yeshiva, and then I just shot myself in the book. Anyway, ein simcha elabasar. Where did Rambam get that from? Where did Rambam get that from? Eat meat. Tulchar ein simcha. But then he says you're also supposed to drink wine. Hine, on the second paragraph on the right side. You can have yayin alone, like the Gemara says, Navi of Sachan, the Beis Yosef. But here it's different because here the Megillah says may mishteh v'simcha. The word simcha is already one thing. That's basar. So what's mishteh? Mishteh is yayin. In other words, the difference between the mitzvah simcha and kolat harakula is because we've been introduced to a new word, mishteh. Mishteh v'simcha. The mishteh connotes wine. Now this just means is that simcha, we still have the mitzvah of simcha just like the regular Yomim Tovim, that's what it sounds like at first. There's just a second element of mishteh. But in the second piece, B'Shem the Brisker Rav, he says, how come we have the sin of Adlo Yada, Dakam Purim? Mishum on the fifth line, Mishum de v'chol ha-mo'ados, Iker mitzvah simcha, eino elo lismach b'Hashem. The mitzvah of simcha is simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'basar v'yayin eino ela siba le'orer ha-simcha. The basar and yayin are really merely ways of awakening in ourselves the simcha so that we can have simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'mavur v'Rambam. The basar and yayin are not ends. They're just means. V'cheinu b'medrash. Zayom asa Hashem l'gil s'chavoy in yodeim v'bayom v'imbo v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What am I being happy with? Happy with the day or happy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nagil v'schabach. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Iker Mitzvah of Simcha Siyantav is Simcha Bach. Simcha Bach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alva B'Purim came to see Mishteh V'Simcha. Nimtza Shah Mishteh Atma Hi Guf HaMitzvah. B'li Shum Tachlitim Shal Simcha. There's an element of Mishteh alone. Mishteh for Mishteh's sake. Drinking wine for wine's sake. Simcha for Simcha's sake. In other words, Mishteh has not only a new word, which adds a potential second dimension, but Mishteh also changes the very nature of Simcha to begin with. Because when you say Simcha, that's Simcha. When you say Simcha, it means the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it says Mishteh the Simcha, it means, what do you mean Mishteh? Mishteh means having the time, it means festivity, it means just like, you're like being happy, it means just like you. It's all about you now. Yeah, Mishteh the Simcha. That's the type of Simcha you should be having. You should be having on Purim. I remember, I'm just recalling now, and I didn't look it up, I think it's Rav Zolti in the Mishnah Tziyavitz, who says, that it's dafka here, it's mishteh, it's simcha through mishteh. Normally you need simcha, just simcha. Simcha for simcha's sake, simcha for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here it's simcha dafka through mishteh. And therefore the mishteh becomes the merkaz, the mishteh becomes the entire focus here. That's why it's about drinking of the wine. Mishteh means to have a banquet. And a banquet means drinking. Mishteh, from the word mishteh. Mishteh means shtiyah, means drinking. It doesn't mean Diet Coke Lemon. Diet Coke Lemon, you can't be Yotze Mishteh B'Simcha with Diet Coke Lemon. See, Yotze, a ton of other mitzvahs with Diet Coke Lemon. But you can't be Yotze the din of Mishteh B'Simcha with Diet Coke Lemon. This is the idea of Mishteh, focusing on Mishteh. Now, does this mean that you should get drunk? It didn't have to be. The Maharil in the Chuvas says at the very end, Ika Mishteh B'Lo Shechros. You can talk about Mishteh, you can have a tremendous feast, and you can have a tremendous party, but a party doesn't necessarily mean drunkenness. You don't have to necessarily go that far, but you could. The idea of Mishteh really does connote maybe going that far. This is the second possibility of what is driving the Shichras Shitas. the Rif, the Rosh, the Shitas that say, the Prichadash, the idea of being Mishtaker. There is, though, a third possibility, and that is the idea of Ad Delo Yada. Ad Delo Yada is your focus. Why? What happens with Ad Delo Yada? And here I'm going to say this in two different ways. On the sheet, I only have the second way. One possible way is to say, you got the whole halacha wrong. It's all about Ad Delo Yada. It's about actually losing your das, even though we don't understand that yet, what's the purpose of that yet. But the Maharal that we'll see a little bit later is about why it is important to release yourselves from das. We need to release the das on Purim. If that's true, then Chayav Inish L'Sumei, it's not even so much about getting drunk, it's not about drinking so much, it's about just the result of Ad Delo Yada. If that's the result that you're going for, so that's the reason. So it's not been in and on Purim, even though drunkenness is usually bad. But here, there's a goal that we're going for, the Ad Delo Yada. That's one possibility. In direct contrast to that idea is one that we're going to see now in the Sfas Emes Niemek Bracha. And this, too, is a justification of drinking this much. Let's start with the Sfas Emes first, slowly but surely. Amazing, the Sfas Emes says this, and the Emek Bracha says this, B'Shem Rabbi Saul Salanter. The Hasidim, the Misnagdim, the Musar movement, plus the Gdolei HaChasidus, all speaking with one voice, all one voice. Unbelievable. Purim. The Sfas Emes first. The Sfas Emes is found in Maseches Megillah. Now, you have to know, the Sfas Emes wore two hats. The first hat is in his parish on Chumash. His parish on Chumash is full of Hasidus, is full of beautiful omek in the Midrashim, depth in the Midrashim. That's the Sfas Emes al HaTorah. Then there's the Sfas Emes al HaShas. Al HaShas. This is just Coke, by the way. Then there's the Sfas Emes al HaShas. And the Sfas Emes al HaShas was so meticulous in understanding the pshat of Rashi and Tosis and the Sugya itself in Moed and Kachin, because that's all we have for the Sfas Emes. In Maseches Megillah, the Sfas Emes writes the following. Mechayev Nishul Sumi Parat Lo Yada. Nira Lefarish. Ze'ena Kavana She'mechuyav Li'ishtaker Kol Kachat She'lo Yada. The mitzvah is not that you have an obligation to get drunk. Rather, Ella, Kol Hayom Mechuyav La'asot B'mishta. You need to drink all day. Ve'ad De'lo Yada Adayin HaChiyav Alav. And until you get to the state where you don't know what's going on, you still have a chiyav. Keep drinking. Lafuke kishigia lishirze. Avokodim hashir yotze kol shosig mishta. Basically, the Sfas Emes flips it on its head and says, Ad Delo Yada is actually not the goal at all. Ad Delo Yada is just of when you can stop. All day you should be drinking, says the Sfas Emes. Have another lechayim. 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 One second, all day long, do I ever get a chance to stop? Yes. Are you at Lo Yada? When you're at Lo Yada, then you can stop. So Lo Yada is the time when you're allowed to stop. So it's not a mitzvah to get drunk, it's a mitzvah to drink all day. Now, you think, that this halacha is telling you a tremendous chumrah, like, you know, if some of you might think this is a tremendous kula, this might be telling you to drink enormously. At first glance, this Sfas Emes is telling you to drink enormously. But what he's really telling you is the exact opposite. What he's telling you is that there's no goal in sight of Ad Delo Yada. You don't have to try to get there at all. There's nothing that you're shooting for. There's a mitzvah to keep drinking. There's a mitzvah to have another l'chaim, a mitzvah to have another l'chaim, you eat something and you can have another l'chaim. There's a mitzvah to keep it going. Mishteh, keep the mishteh alive all day. So you have a little bit of wine. If you have a little bit of wine all day, even though at no point are you losing it, at no point are you losing your faculties, you're absolutely yotzei the mitzvah. According to the Sfas Emes, behider rav. That's behider rav. So he's basically telling you, you don't have to get so drunk. But he is telling you that a certain quantity of time, they just keep drinking, have a little more, another little time. Because the goal is not to get drunk. But according to this, the mitzvah is to keep drinking and keep drinking and keep drinking. And what happens when you get to Lo Yada? Now you're putter. Why are you putter? Not so clear. This pshat was made famous, not by the Sfas Emes al HaShas. This pshat is made famous by the Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha was the Talmud of the Griz. He died young, but he has an incredible work on Aruch Chaim called Emek Bracha.
We've seen it in Shir, we've seen it often. The Emek Bracha writes, Shamati b'shem Agon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Shamar Hadachayav of Sumi Adelo Yada, Ein Perusho Shechayav Lishtaker. It doesn't mean that you should get drunk. It's not the result of getting drunk. Ela Iker HaMitzah, he rakli shtos yain l'itmasein, to drink wine and to feel good. Aval eino nitzar, but you only become putter in kvar shatzav in itmasein. You don't become putter if you already drank. Ela mechuyav olas dor l'shtos. It's unbelievable. He says that even if you reach that stage, you still have to continue drinking. V'kachan im shereth eschiyav mitzvazusha mishtavisim kol yom ha'yaparim. Ve'eino niftar mimenu achi yishtaker v'lo yadavim. The only time you can stop is when you become drunk. Sha'az niftar mitzvazu. Why? Kedin shikor v'shoteh. Shepatah mimitzvah. In other words, you keep drinking. And if you're a shikor and you're a shoteh, now you can stop. V'nimtza sh'ashir ad lo yadav. Eino shir b'kim ha'mitzvah. El ashir l'inyan liftor mihamitzvah. And like I said, there's something about, you know, adding to drinking and subtracting drinking now. The added to the drinking is like a mitzvah to drink a lot. Mitzvah to keep drinking, it's a mitzvah to shtos, yai. But on the other hand, there's no mitzvah to get drunk at all. To even become inebriated. It doesn't necessarily have, you're not even going for any effect at all. A little bit of wine, you have shtia throughout the day, that is already behidarav, according to the Emek Racha B'Shem, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. According to this pshat, the goal is not to get drunk. There's no mitzvah here to get drunk. That was what was such a problem. How could it be that there's a mitzvah to get drunk? The mitzvah is to drink, have another l'chaim. The mitzvah is l'chaim. And when do you stop? When you finally have become a shikor. Now this is the Emek Racha B'Shem Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And another Achron, also another Talmud of the Griz, his name was Rav Chaim Turchin. He wrote a fantastic sefer on Hanukkah and Megillah called Kuntres Hanukkah and Megillah. And he says that the truth is that if you look at the Ptur, when do you become Pater? Adelo Yadav Bein Arhan L'Mamarach Mordechai. Why is that the Shir? Why doesn't it say Ad Shenaseh Shoteh? Or Ad Shenaseh Shikor? Why does he say Bein Arhan L'Mamarach Mordechai? He says, you understand? That is to drink, because when you're drinking, to realize the nace, to realize the hodah. So when do you stop? When you can't recognize that anymore. In other words, it's a much lower level to stop. You don't have to wait till you become a shoteh in Kalatara Kula. You don't have to become like completely out there, completely 100%. Rather, it's much earlier on, Adlo Yada. This is a very interesting chakira in Chayiv Inish Lepsumei Adlo Yada. Is the mitzvah to drink wine, and the time to stop is Adelo Yada, but the mitzvah is to drink wine, Shosei Yayin. There's the mitzvah inherently to drink wine, or is the mitzvah Adelo Yada, and drinking wine is in order to get to that state. It's a mitzvah to get drunk, and what you're doing is drinking in order to get to that stage. Another very nice naftamina that some Achronim quote is the idea of using other beverages other than wine. What about other alcoholic beverages? Vodka, beer, are you allowed, is there a mitzvah of chayav inish l'psume with other beverages? Rashi says specifically yayin. The Rambam says explicitly yayin, we didn't get to the Rambam yet. The Rokeach says yayin. But Rav Yosef Engel, in his parish on Maseches Megillah, Rav Yosef Engel says, why? Why should it only be wine? Why shouldn't it be other alcoholic beverages also? Why not? And then there are basically two svaras for this. Number one, which is what we would have said, the most obvious svara, the goal is Adelo Yada. Since the whole mitzvah is in order to get to Adelo Yada, so vodka does the same, beer does the same, of getting to Adelo Yada. Second thing he says, is that what's the whole idea of yayin? Maybe the simcha of yayin? Yayin yisamach levav enosh? There are certain chazals, Rashi in Bamatia, I think, Rashi in Sanhedrin, that says beferish, that even sheikhar, even other alcoholic beverages are also mesameach. You don't have to only do simcha through yayin, you can do simcha through other beverages as well. The poskim, paskin, that the ikar is with wine. The ikar is with wine. If one wants to add other alcoholic beverages, then he can. which is why you will find outside of here, you will find people also bringing out the brandy and bringing out other alcoholic beverages. But you should just know, on a practical standpoint, drinking wine and other alcoholic beverages, bad idea. Bad idea. Okay? Okay. Let's continue. Let's get to the Rambam. Let's get to the Rambam. What is the shita of the Rambam when it comes to all of this? And the Rambam, wow, like in so many sugyas, the Rambam leaves us confused. Leaves us confused. The Rambam writes the following. The Rambam writes, after he talks about some of the halachos of Purim, at the end of halacha Yudalid, he talks about Sudas Purim Sha'aso, Belaila Lo Yati Dechavaso, the last words of Yudalid, that you can't do Sudas Purim at night. Ketar Chova Se'udazu, She'yochal Basar, V'yitaken Su'udah Na'ek, If Yashit Tinta Yadosh, Na'isuda, V'shose Yayin Achi Yishtaker, V'yeradim V'shichrut. What a line. Drink wine until you get drunk, and fall asleep in your drunkenness. V'yeradim V'shichrut. Or B'shichruso. I seem to remember there's another book there. But, okay. V'yeradim V'shichrut. Now, first things first. According to the Rambam, and this is how it appears in Shulchan Aruch also, the mitzvah of drinking is only during the Suda. Only during the Suda. So for sure there's no mitzvah at night to drink. There's certainly no din of Chayav Shenesh Sumei at night. But is there a Chayav Shenesh Sumei throughout the day of Purim? Or is it only during the Suda? According to the Rambam, it's favorite that it's only a din in Suda's Purim. The truth is that when you look at the Gemara, Amar Rav Chayav Shenesh Sumei, and then it told a story about what? Two people who had Suda's Purim together. And then the next halachos in the Gemara are also about Sudas Purim, about Chavayla. It sounds like the din of drinking is only din in Sudas Purim, and that is where the Ikar Mitzvah of drinking is only during Sudas Purim. But what does the Rambam mean, V'shose Yayin Achi Yishtaker, V'yeradein B'shichrut? Where did he get that from? So there's a huge machlokas achronim about whether the Rambam paskins like Rava or paskins against Rava. What do you think? He didn't quote the word Chayav Shenesh Sumei. So is he passing with Rava or is he passing against Rava? So, in the Nemuke Yosef, which was printed much more recently, the Nemuke Yosef that came out on Masechet Megillah quotes this Rambam, and then he says on the third line after the word V'yeradim B'shichruso, see he had the love, V'lo hiskir had mechayev inish l'psumei. He doesn't mention chayev inish l'psumei el shekasav. Rather, he writes lo yishish tagev b'shichruso. Don't get crazy with your. Don't get become a meshugana with your drunkenness. You shall schok the kalistrosh vanilla peh and follow all these terrible things. Shazelo yikasuka the holus vesichlus. And then he starts quoting all these things, which is not in the Rambam at all. And then on the third to last line, Lamehmer Mili Dibdichusa, the Savi Inch, the Loyada Bin Baruch. All he means is, Bin Baruch Haman Baruch Mordechai, it's just like a nice, cute way of saying, drink at festive until you can't figure out things. Just like joking around. But it's really not about drinking. Person shouldn't become drunk on Purim, according to the Rambam. That's how the Nemuke Yosef learned. Where do you get these lines from? Lo shish tagev b'shichruso. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that the Rambam says these lines. So the Rambam does say these lines. I only brought two Rambams here, but there are other Rambams also. The Rambam in Hilchos Yontif, very famous, that says exactly this line. Shekol mi, at the end of the first line, mishi yosef b'zeh yarbeh mitzah simcha, shashichrus v'hatschok harbeh v'kalos harosh eina simcha laholulus. When a person drinks too much, and has too much wine and schok and kalas rosh, that's just frivolity. Only avodas Hashem, idus Hashem b'simcha. Last words of the halacha: lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalas rosh, v'lo mitoch shichrus. Wow, a damaging line against being drunk. Or the Rambam in Hilchos Deos: kishachacham shote yayin, eino shote l'kedei l'shrati l'shmei yav. It's only for eating. V'kol hamishtaker harei zechote. He's a sinner. He's bad. He'll lose his chachma. And if he starts drinking in front of the Amoratim, so then he's to be Mechal Shem Shemayim. Wow. Damning words against drunkenness. But what are we going to do? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Purim that he should pretty much stock air. He says a fairish. That's where it's bold. B'shosa yayin achi yishtak. It's really impossible to say this in the Rambam, that the Rambam thinks that he shouldn't become drunk, because he says b'shosa yayin achi yishtak air.
V'yeradim b'shichruso. And a person should fall asleep in his drunkenness, meaning that it should have such an effect on them that it makes him fall asleep. In other words, he clearly is talking about getting drunk. So it seems like the pshat in the Rambam is that you should drink until you get drunk. So what's this yeradim b'shichruso? So some mepharshim say that this is what the Rambam meant. This is what ad lo yada is. Ad lo yada is until you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. How in the world is there going to be a time where you don't know the difference? When you're sleeping. When you're sleeping, you don't know things. So therefore, you should go to sleep. And that's why some posts suggest, I don't know how it works out in the Messias. I guess you have to be a big gadol ador to have this. That you have a big meal in the morning, let's say, and you drink, and then you take a nap. Take a nap on Purim Day. I think to myself, I don't have 2 minutes on Purim Day. Where do I have time to take a nap on Purim? I bring kids around for Shalach Manas, Talmidim are coming and visiting, and then there's Mincha. And then as soon as there's a fast approaching, and there's another the women's laning of Megillah after Minyan. And like all these different, the day is so packed, jam-packed. Who has time for a nap? You have to be a Gadol Ador, everything's taken care of. Nobody's saying, you have Shlichim for Shalach Manas, you have everything else. Everything else can be done by remote control with all your family members. You can just take a nap. I'm going to take a nap now. Drinking, I'm going to lie down. Who has time to lie down? So what does the Rambam mean? You have the mitzvah to lie down? Some achronim, some gedolim, some poskim said that's what they did. That was their minhag. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach took a nap. And this is to be Mekayim, this Rambam and the Ramah that we're going to see very soon. And I remember hearing years ago, I can't believe, after researching the topic for a while now, I can't believe that I did not find this shita that somehow hits me. Where did the Rambam get that you should fall asleep? He doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara you should fall asleep. He learned the Rambam. I can't believe I'm quoting this now because after seeing so many presentations of the topic, I did not find the shita, which means that it might not exist and I'm totally making it up right now. But at least it's interesting to hear. I think so. So the Rambam got it from the Gemara because of the story. Rabba and Reb Zera. Rabba killed Reb Zera? What are you, crazy? The whole thing was a dream. One second, a dream. He fell asleep. It says by Rabba, Adelo Yada ben Araham on the Baruch Mordechai. Abraham and Baruch Mordechai. How in the world is that going to happen? Only when you fall asleep. And while he fell asleep, there was a story of Rabba and Reb Zera. Somebody dreamed of Rabba killing Reb Zera. But the whole story was a dream, and that he fell asleep beforehand, because that's what Adel Yada is. It's cute, it's drishy, but this is what I remember. Now let's get to the halacha, and then the drish. The halacha is the following. If you look at the Torah writes, Mitzvah laharbos besudas purim v'tzarich shi'ishtaker. The Torah follows the Rosh, who paskin chayav inish l'ksumei kipshuto, and that the Rif also, and the Torah even spells it out for you. V'tzarich shi'ishtaker afshelo yada v'in arahad l'barach Mordechai. The Torah is not ambiguous. What about the Shulchan Aruch? Skip 27, 28. Shulchan Aruch the Mechaber chayav inish l'ksumei v'puri afshelo yada v'in arahad l'barach Mordechai. Boom, kipshuto, Rif, Rosh. Tour, Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber, Svardim, party time. Svardim, Adelo Yada, Kipshuto. The Svardim will say to you, pass me the wine. I'm not there yet. You've had enough. No, I have not. Katuv b'Mechaber b'Shulchan Aruch, right? And it says the following. Is this the Beis Yosef's position? Is this Rabbi Yosef Karo's position in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Torah calls him a Farish. And when you look at the Ramah, you even get that sense, because the Ramah passes like the Kolbo. The person should drink more than he's accustomed to. V'yishan, he should go to sleep. These poskim were trying to follow the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. They were just trying to be good Ashkenazic Ramah Jews. So you drink, and then you take a nap. When we talk to Yishan, you know your day, Ben Aram, the Baruch Mordechai, the Mahariel. It's the Mahariel, it's not the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'yeradim b'shichruso. The person should like be overtaken. Here it means go to sleep. Okay. From the Ramah, it sounds like, that how did he learn the Mechaber? Because the Mechaber was serious drinking. And the Ramah goes, oh, Yishan, man, tone it down. So for Ashkenaz, it means tone it down. So what about the Sephardim? Drink. Drink, achi yishtaker, until you get drunk. I have two problems with this approach to the Shulchan Aruch. The first is that in source 27 we have the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef makes three comments. The first comment is, Meimer the Rav on the second line. That first line, by the way, is the Torah. And then here's the parish of the Beis Yosef. He makes three comments. First comment, Kasu Atosis, the remez of the piyut. Second comment is, the Ran writes B'Shem Rabbeinu Ephraim, that Rav has been punted. Third statement, he writes, Kasu Baruch HaKayim, Chas V'Shalom, that you should be mistaken. So the Beis Yosef makes three comments, all against drinking. By the way, this is it. I didn't strategically leave out the 90 pages or the 90 lines, the 90 comments that were pro-drinking and pro-getting drunk. This is it in the Beis Yosef, okay? You don't take my word for it. You don't take anything my word for it. But I'm just telling you what the truth is. The Beis Yosef only says this. So is the Beis Yosef a drunk man or not? Is he a person who thinks that he should get drunk? No. So what's going on in the Mechaber? How could the Shulchan Aruch just write Chayiv and Nisim to me before you? The Aruch HaShulchan asked this question. The Beis Yosef says it's no good. V'kasha, on next page, on page 5, Ech sasam Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef, Dvarav HaShulchan Aruch, Dilehed Yamash Meshichas Gemura, V'tzarachin. I believe that there's another problem. Not only does the Beis Yosef so clearly say that one shouldn't get drunk, but it's also that the Tur wrote Tzarech Shishtaker. And the Shulchan Aruch went out of his way to say it differently than the Tur. And he went back to the Lashon of the Gemara, Chayav Inish Lefsume. How come he didn't say Chayav Lishtaker, Tzarech Shishtaker like the Tur? I think he was trying to say against that. I think the Shulchan Aruch very much agrees to the Ramah's sentiments. This is Chayav Inish Lefsume Bepuria. It means leave Sume. It means to become. We didn't explain yet what leave sume means. For some, it means drinking a lot of wine, it means getting drunk. But leave sume literally means to become, in the Santino, it's called it, to become mellow. Mellowed. The person has to become mellowed on, that's how you say it, by the way. The person has to become mellowed on Purim. What it means is some type of high, some type of buzz. It means the person should feel like uplifted of sorts. Person should feel like he's floating a little bit. He should become uplifted. That's what the sume means. So maybe the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch was dafka saying that lashon, and like the lashon of the Gemara, much better than the lashon of the Torah. I think those two questions, though, why he differed from the lashon of the Torah that says yishtaker, and the fact that the Beis Yosef three comments, and there are only three comments, and three out of three are against getting drunk, how could it be that the Shulchan Aruch is passing that he got drunk? I think that the evidence lent itself that the Shulchan Aruch is not in favor of getting drunk. How do we paskin the halacha? We'll finish the halacha section now. The Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the Yashen, and we talk to Yashen, the Lashon of the Ramah, the Chain Ra'i Lasos. The Primigadim says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Primigadim, the Chain Ra'i Lasos, like the Ramah, they should drink a little bit more than you're normally accustomed to, and then you go to sleep. Yishte Yoser Milimudo. I remember hearing a drush years ago that a person can drink Yoser Milimudo more than he learns. If he learns very seriously, then he can drink. He can drink a lot. If you don't learn very seriously, then you can't drink a lot. It's the schus of somebody that's Yoser Milimudo, more than his learning. If he's learning very much, then he's entitled, then he's allowed to drink very much. That's a drush not to be taken that seriously. Anyway, in source 31, we have the Ber Halacha. When you're doing the Mishnah Berurah, you do the Ber Halachas also. And the Ber Halacha, it's so hard to pin down. The first thing that he quotes is the Abu Draham. How could there be a mitzvah getting drunk? Zecher l'neis. So it sounds like he quotes that there's an idea of drinking for drinking's sake. Umikamakam kozel l'mitzvah l'alake. It's not an absolute chiyuv. It's just a mitzvah. Then he quotes the Meiri in the next Ber Halacha, which is clearly against getting drunk. So is he for getting drunk like the Abu Draham in the first one? Or is he saying against getting drunk like the Meiri? And how in the world is he quoting the Meiri? The Meiri is the one who was the anti-Ravashita, the anti-Chayav Inish Lefsume. And we're passing like Chayav Inish Lefsume. We're passing everybody holds Chayav Inish Lefsume. The Shulchan Aruch says Chayav Inish Lefsume, and the Ramah is just tempering Chayav Inish Lefsume. But nobody's rejecting Chayav Inish Lefsume, but the Meiri did. And the Ber Halacha is quoting the Meiri. Maybe it's just the sentiments of the Meiri. Make sure that it's not holus. Make sure that it's Davar Shel Kedusha. And then the Ber Halacha quotes the Chayav Adam. This is on the third to last line of the Ber Halacha. The Chayav Adam just reminds us, I think it's an important reminder to have, that there are other mitzvos that are included in Purim, like Netilas Yadayim, Birchas HaMitzvos, Birchas HaNanin, Birchas HaMazon. There are a lot of other mitzvos. None of the drinking should get in the way of that. which means that you have to bench after your suda. It means that you have to daven ma'ariv after your suda. Anything that's going to hurt the chances of you being mekayim those mitzvos, absolutely you should not put yourself into such danger. There is, though, one last line in halacha. We'll have to skip this Abu Draham right now. There is one last line of halacha, I think, that is extremely important. And let's go back to the Ramah. The Ramah on page 4 near the end. The Ramah in source number 28. The last line of the Ramah. The Echad Hamarbe, the Echad Hamavit, Ubilvach Yechavin Libo Shele Shamayim. No matter how much you have, a person should have Kavana Libo Le Shamayim. His lave should be towards Shamayim. This is, I think, the most important lesson. But Waxman was mentioning what he said to you before in terms of advice, practical advice. And I told him this yesod, and he'll probably mention it in next year's instructions, which is everything has very, very much to do with your kavana. Your kavana should be l'shem mitzvah. If you're drinking as an escape, if you're drinking that finally you get a chance to let loose and get wild, that's not libo l'shamayim. If you're doing it because Rava says chayav in shlusume, it's because you're trying to get a closer gash bracha, it's because of Purim, it's because of the mitzvah of Purim, so then that's different. I conjure up in my head the following image to illustrate the difference between l'mitzvah and not l'mitzvah. L'mitzvah is you're sitting around the table at your Rebbe's house, divrei Torah are being said, singing being done, and then people are drinking. And people are drinking wine and filling their cups, and they're feeling good, and they're feeling good bizman ha-mitzvah. And they're feeling the ruchnius of that mitzvah. And then the other idea is two guys, four guys, eight guys sitting in a room, opening a bottle, drinking from the bottle, and passing around the bottle. For me, that vision is one where it's libo l'shamayim, and the other one is not libo l'shamayim. One is hefkeros, and one is ruchnius. So it's the lav davka, whether you get drunk or not, and how much drinking one does. And we saw this very, very large machlokas rishonim here. Uvulvad shechavein libo l'shamayim. This is really the bottom line when it comes to the halacha. Now there are other cheshbonos. I thought that I would finish at 11. I'm sorry that we're going to do the drush now. There's some very, very beautiful drush. Anybody who feels that they need to leave is absolutely welcome to. There are some other factors of nowadays. Now, nowadays, we have to be a little bit extra worried. There are drinking issues amongst the world, and including the Orthodox community. And the question is whether we have to change a little bit, even though we know that there are shittos that hold this way and shittos that hold this way. Maybe we have to change our minds, and we have to pick certain shittos to hold by, because of worrying about the greater community at large. There are cheshbonos like this. The Pri Chadash, which I chopped off, the Pri Chadash at the end, who says Rabbeinu Ephraim is wrong, then says, but you know what, nowadays, where, Bavanasena HaRabbi, maybe we're not on the right level, we should do like Rabbeinu Ephraim, which is maybe we shouldn't do Chayav Enish Lipsumei. Unbelievable that he's willing to now, almost, he's holding the other side. He just rejected Rabbeinu Ephraim, just that they're wrong. He's trying to explain the other shittos, the Paskin Chayav Enish Lipsumei. But still, there are certain circumstances, and you have to understand the circumstances that are in front of you, about whether to embrace other shittos. Even though there are these other cheshbonos, one does have to know the halacha, and the halacha is very, very clear here. There are shittos that say to get drunk, and there are shittos who say to do less than that. There are both of those shittos that exist in halacha. What happens if a person chooses to do one of those poskim? Absolutely legitimate. Does a person have to then also be responsible and be careful? Absolutely. But a person is allowed to choose what shita. What if your parents tell you they don't want you to get drunk? Amazing. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, you're allowed to not listen to them, and you're allowed to follow whichever shita that you want. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rabbi Yosher Paskin that you have to listen to your parents, and that you should do the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. Now, why do they say that you should do the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch? So there are a couple of important factors here and interesting factors here that has to do with the sugya of Kibud Av Eim. The first is really a Hilchos Purim issue. They didn't necessarily like the whole drunk shita. They liked the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. If you like the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, you go, that's the Ikar Halacha. Anybody who wants to do more than that extra thing, parents, you have to listen to your parents. Another factor is, who says that you have to listen to your parents for your own Avodas Hashem?
You're allowed to choose your own Avodas Hashem. You're allowed to choose the direction that you're going in. Whether you're going to make Aliyah, whether you're going to want to stay Shana Bet, which college you want to go to, which field you want to go into, which person you want to marry. This is all your own Avodas Hashem. It's your life. You're allowed to choose the way you're going to lead your own life. But that's because it impacts you. It doesn't impact your parents. But what if your drinking impacts your parents? For example, the example of a boy throwing up his house and his mother has to clean it up. That is absolutely relevant to his parents. And then the parents have absolutely the right to say, we don't want you drinking this much. So there are a lot of other factors that come to play when it comes to Kibbutz Aveirim. Now let's get to the drush. So what is, we now skip to number 35. What's this whole idea of Ad Lo Yada? What's the idea of Ad Lo Yada? That you shouldn't know, even if it's Ad Lo Ad Bichlal. What the whole notion of Chazal saying, until you don't know. Why would they couch in these terms? Why would we want to be Mishukrar, released from our Das? So the first shot is in the Maharal, in source 35. And he says so beautifully. The Maharal says, you have to be Mesalik the Seichel because Haman and Amalek wanted to be Mevatel our Guf. They wanted to kill us. This wasn't an ideological battle against the Jews. It might have been an ideological battle against the Hashbrachu. But their problem with the Jews is the Jew. Is the physical existence, the Kiyam of the Jew. The Jewish body. The Jewish Kiyam. We want to destroy Jews in the world. And that's why we celebrate with Jewish existence. We celebrate with the Kiyam of the Jew. We strip things down. It's not our das. It's not about being a religious. And it's not about our Avodas Hashem right now. It's about we celebrate the Guf. And to celebrate the Guf, we have to be Meshachar our das. Seichel and Guf are Tarte D'Satrei. If there's more Seichel, less Guf. If there's more Guf, then there's less Seichel. He says they're Hafachim. Lachain and the last line, Tarishi Yunim Shachan Lagamri Achar Anas Aguf. Achi Yisulaka Seichel Lagamri on page 6. Ki Aguf HaSeichel Shnei Hafachim. So what we're trying to do on Purim is to become extremely Gashmius oriented. Gufani, during the Suda, your Mishrachre, your Das, to celebrate Jewish existence. They wanted to destroy the Jew, and therefore we celebrate as a Jew. The Sfas Emes is the one who already made the diuk that the word for Jew in Megillas Esther is different than in Kol Torah Kula. Everywhere else it's always Yisrael. And the Sfas Emes writes, I mentioned this last year, a whole bunch of time about this, it says Yehudi, because Yehudi is the Guf HaYehudi. It's the Jew. Yisrael is Kisarita Yim Elokim Batuchal. We have a certain tafkid in the world. We're talking about the greatness of a Jew. Now we're not talking about the greatness of a Jew. We're talking about a Jew. They wanted to destroy the Jew. And that's why we celebrate with the Jew. Rav Gantz added in a Shalach Manas Dvar Torah. A Shalach Manas Dvar Torah. Rav Gantz has a lot of people handing him Dvar Manas. So 1 year or maybe many years, he hands people a piece of paper with a Dvar Torah on it. Is he making a Shalach Manas with that? Probably not. He sends Shalach Manas, don't worry. Well, he doesn't have to send 500 Shalach Manas. Everybody gives him Shalach Manas, and I can't give. So he gives a piece of paper and he gives it a Dvar Torah. So he wrote a Dvar Torah. It's so beautiful. And he said the following idea. He says, you know, this is not just a negative thing. We learn from the hatred of the Jews. Since they hate the Jewish existence, the Guf HaYehudi, the very fact that we exist, it must be that there's something there. It must be that there's Kedusha in the Jewish existence. There must be something in just being a Jew. Forget our big pockets right now. Just the very existence of a Jew has Kedusha itself. There must be inherent Kedusha to the life of a Jew. And that feeling of that Kedusha, is this idea that Rav Gantz called to be Banim Lamakam, that we are children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what our Kedusha is. We're our children. We're His children. And whether we fulfill Tafkidim or not, whether we have these grand Tafkidim or not, we are Banim Lashem. And because we are Banim Lashem, Rav Gantz mentioned that there are two beautiful ramifications for this idea. The first is, if we're all Banim Lashem, that means we're all brothers. That's why there's such a feeling of achva and reis on Purim. That's why Mishloach Manos Yisrael, Matlos Levyonim, and Sudas Purim, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, is an idea of such tremendous friendship because we're all Banim Hashem. because we all have Kedusha, because we're Banim Hashem. So that creates Achva. Also, because we're Banim Hashem, it reawakens in us wanting to be Mekabel the Torah again. And that's why Purim is Kabbalah HaTorah V'Ratzah, because we are Banim Hashem. That was idea number one. Idea number two is found in the Maharal. The Maharal said another idea. And the Maharal says in Source 36, also in Or Chadash, it's Perish on Purim, and he says, Klomar, what's Adelo Yad all about? Fourth line. Ki kasher adam magia lemidas zos ein lo shum ezer klal. Ki lo yada davar ve'in lo yecholet. He's got no ability. V'kach yisob osa shaloya ezer v'atshua davar ma b'smitzar atzmam rak min Hashem yisbarach hayta yeshua zos legamre. The Maharal explains, when you strip away your das, all of your faculties, it means, oh my gosh, there is nothing I am in control of right now. Nothing. I am solely and completely and wholly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happened in the Megillah. With Esther, with all of her shtalus that she did, with inviting Haman Nachashverosh to the party, v'chule, and all of what she tried to do. At the end of the day, it was really so much siyata d'shmaya that it was all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the rest. And to make sure that Achashverosh couldn't sleep at night. And then Mordechai comes, and Haman comes, and tests Haman, and Mordechai is then rewarded. And then the second party. All of these things happening behind the scenes, getting Esther to the palace in the first place. All of these things means that we are completely and utterly dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's no feeling like that unless you're Meshachar yourself. You're not in control anymore. The idea is actually to lose control. To lose control. Maybe within a limit, but still, to lose control. You're sitting at that table, but you don't have the faculties right now. You couldn't really take care of yourself right now. That's the idea. Because when you can't, that's what Klal Yisrael felt during the time of Purim. They couldn't take care of themselves. They did the best that they can. They did their Hishtavos, and they did their Tzom, and they did their Tefillah, Sumo Alai, Shoz Yamim, right? This was the reason why we drink. And the Maharal says at the end of 37, he says the same idea in another place, a little further on, he says, V'day b'zeh le'mevinim dvarim shem amukim me'ol mod. This is very, very deep stuff. The idea in this mahalach is the idea of vulnerability. That's what the Yisod is. Vulnerability. When a person drinks and loses control, he is now vulnerable. That's what Klal Yisrael felt during the time of Purim, and that's what we're trying to tap into. Third shita is the Taz and the Gra. And the Taz and the Gra make the diuk of Bein Arur Haman Lebarach Mordechai. It doesn't say Bein Haman Lemordechai. Not evil, wicked, and tzaddik. It says Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai. Arur Haman means Haman's downfall. Baruch Mordechai means Mordechai's rise. Which one of those happened on Purim? Both. Haman's downfall, Mordechai's rise. Mordechai was Ola L'Gedula. Haman got what he deserved. You know, there are people who don't see justice in the world. It's not fair. Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo. Tzadikim are suffering, Rishonim are prospering. Which one was greater in Purim? Was it Haman's downfall that created this bigger Kiddush Hashem for you? Or was it Mordechai's rise to power that created this Kiddush Hashem for you? Which one was the greater Kiddush Hashem? When you can't figure out which one was the greater Kiddush Hashem, that's when you have been yotzei this mitzvah. Ad delo yad, until you can't figure out which one is greater. Now the truth is, the Gra and the Taz, this is an extremely philosophical pshat. I don't know how much control you could be losing and still thinking about what's greater, the justice that happened to Haman or Mordechai's rise to power? But it must be that you're still, you know, it's a very literal shot that you're still in control, figuring out which is the bigger Kiddush Hashem. Idea number four, the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibraditchev. It really is for it. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibraditchev says the following beautiful idea. He says, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai. Arur Haman means the evil. Baruch Mordechai, of course you're going to know the difference. He says, I'll tell you what it is. Mechuyav on the first line, Litaneg Beharas Purim, Sheyomar Sheinenu Ba'olam Klal Shum Ra'a. There's no evil in the world. Shebein Hadvarim Ra'im, Shu Bichlal Arur Haman, Ubein Hadvarim Atovim, Shu Bichlal Baruch Mordechai. Hakol Tov Ve'in Shum Ra Klal Ba'olam. To not even be able to see the Ra in the world, to see the good within the Ra, the good that happens because of the Ra, to see Dafka within the Ra good. Sometimes you have to drink in order to figure out that something that looked so bad beforehand is finally good. And I wish we had this feeling that even when the Ra was happening, I know I quoted this on the night of Purim last year. On the night of Purim, my shiur last year, the beautiful vort of the Rebbe Miostritza. The Rebbe Miostritza is talking about the Mishnah that says, HaKorea L'mafreya Lo Yatza. If a person reads the Megillah out of order, L'mafreya Lo Yatza. What's the pshat? So the pshat ha-pashut is, you can't read the Megillah out of order because the whole idea is figuring out how things fit into place. So you're missing the whole point if you don't read it in order. That's pshat number one. Deeper, the Radishavar says actually, somewhere else, someone who thinks that this story is just one of the past and doesn't repeat itself all the time and is not in modern day history, lo yatza. A person has to know that Purim's blessings are even for today. Second shot. But then we go deeper. No further. You know what happens in the Megillah. You're reading the Megillah. And after the fact, after the story, you just go, oh, Hashem is awesome. Look, Esther got into the palace. Look, everything was good. Everything was good. Esther got into the palace. We thought that it was terrible that Esther got into the palace, but at the end it was a Yeshua. We thought a lot of things, but after the fact we realized it was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rebbe Miostritza, if you read the Megillah L'mafreya, if you only see the Yad Hashem retroactively, if only after the fact you can see the Yad Hashem and all the events beforehand, lo yatza. It's not enough to see the Yad Hashem after the fact. After everything works out beautifully, of course you can see the Yad Hashem. Even Goyim will see the Yad Hashem. Anybody could see the Yad Hashem in such a circumstance. You need to be able to see the Yad Hashem during the story itself. Don't wait for everything to work out in the end. HaKorel Mafer lo yatza. You must believe even while you're biting your nails. In trepidation, you know fully well HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything. That's this idea of the Kedushas Levi. Einenu ba'olam klal shum ra. A very, very high madrega. And then we have the last idea. Oh. The last idea is in a sefer called Rasisei Laila. How many people are aware of the sefer Rasisei Laila? Rasisei Laila. Who knows what the sefer is really about? Hands went up, hands went down. Rasisei Laila were Tzadok HaKohen's dreams. He dreamed Torah. He woke up and then he wrote it down. You want to feel small? you want a piece of humble pie? You start reading Rasisei Laila. My great uncle in Chevron, Rabbi Moshe Levinger, a big activist L'man HaAm Yisrael. He gave me the sefer Rasisei Laila. I didn't know what it was. If somebody got there, Amid Aliyah, he gave me a sefer Rasisei Laila. In my Rasisei Laila, which I haven't read that much, I wrote in the Tanami, Rav Levinger in Tanami. Rasisei Laila, Rav Tzadok HaKohen says the following beautiful idea. He says, Aval Purim hu os habris shebein Yisrael avim shebashamayim tzat shoresh hane'elam ba'olam hazeh. The connection that we have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the root. And that even when everything seems to be missing, we're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To teach us. Even in full-blown drunkenness. What we're trying to suggest, what we're trying to highlight is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're yours. We're not just yours with our brains. And we're not just yours because we think a certain way. We're yours. We just have the vakus. Sometimes you have to remove the other faculties to just get to the barest bones, Dekos Vashem. Now, this is the beautiful idea of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. I saw one added component in Rav Moshe Sternbach's Sefer Moadim Uzmanim, which fits absolutely beautifully. And he says that what do we celebrate on Purim? That we can see Yad Hashem Bateva. We can see all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature. What's the idea? We don't need to see big things. Even in the barest bones of the world at large, in the Teva itself, in the natural itself, everything connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the same thing with the Jew. The Jew is Dovek Bashem, the Jew has Kedusha, the Jew is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what. The same way the Teva of the world is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we realized on Purim. We also realize that our Teva is all connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The goof of the Jew, the place of the Jew, is always connected towards our Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the idea that a Jew inside, in the deepest point, this pintaliyah that we talk about, is something that is always connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that can never be extinguished. That the Ratzon HaPnimi, that the inner drive in every Jew, is connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we do is we remove all of the Seichel, and we remove all of these other things, because what we're trying to suggest is we are Dovek Bashem, not only through actions, and not through only through our thoughts. We as people are just Dovek Bashem. These are five different, I think, beautiful, beautiful ideas of Ad Lo Yada. I really thank you very, very much for coming and listening. I apologize that we went a little bit over the time that I thought that it was going to be. But I really appreciate it.